This morning, we're going to be talking about the simplest, if you will, sermon there is. As a matter of fact, a five-year-old can do this sermon. Maybe a six-year-old. It's just simply about the Bible. But you know, at one time in our history, Seventh-day Adventists were known as people of the book. People of the Bible. And if we stand on the Bible for what we believe, and if we make it our foundation for practice and for faith, we stand secure. But if we start looking outside of the Bible, we can run into problems. So pray with me as we pray, as we study this morning the Bible. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you so much for this opportunity to be here, to be able to study and spend some time together. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be here with us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. And may Jesus come forth. For we ask it all in your name. Amen. There was a survey done, actually out of Portland. It was a very easy survey. What they did is they took the yellow pages, the big books, and basically started going through the names, randomly picking names, and calling them on the phone. And the question was very simple. What is the Bible? Was the question. And so they tabulated all the answers. The majority of the people that answered, the majority of them, their answer was, the Bible is a good history about the Jewish nation. The majority of the people is a good history book. The majority of the book is a good book. Some said the Bible has a lot of errors in it. Some said the Bible is too strict. It was a small amount of people that said the Bible is God's Word and it is the guidance for me as a Christian to live by. Very small number of people. The question today for us folks is, what is the Bible? And I would like to submit to you this morning that if we're going to be a Christian that connects the human with the divine, a Christian who lives his life to testify about Jesus Christ, a Christian who lives his life to tell others about the soon coming of Jesus, a Christian who will do his best to be a servant, is a person that's going to stand on the Bible. There's a connection, and this is the simplest point, but it is the most important point. Today, it's sad to say that most Christians do not spend time in the Bible. Oh, they will read about what others think about the Bible. Oh, they'll listen to what others' opinions are about the Bible. They may even look at some of the stuff in the Bible, but it is a small amount of people that actually study and digest what the Bible is all about. I would submit to you that the Bible is more. It's more than a history book. Yes, it contains history. The Bible was written over a span of 3,500 years. Over 40 writers involved in it. One author, the Holy Spirit. 40 writers putting it together. It varied, very different topics in the Bible. You want passion, there's passion in the Bible. You want murder, there's murder in the Bible. You want steel, there's steel in the Bible. You want romance, there's romance in the Bible. You can find anything in the Bible. But you see, the important thing for us this morning is knowing what is in the Bible. Are we trusting the Bible to be God's Word? You've heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? They were found, not that long ago. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, one specific scroll was found of the book of Isaiah. From that scroll to the book that we have in our Bible today, there was only three words that were slightly different. Didn't make a whole lot of change in the translation. But basically, in its entirety, the book of Isaiah was found. Just as it is. You see, God protects His Word. And the reason why He protects His Word is because it is the Bible. And this is the important thing. It is the Bible that presents to us a complete picture of who Jesus is. It is the Bible that presents a Creator, a Redeemer. It is the Bible who brings us to a connection with Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand me. There are books that are good. There are books that will lead you to the Bible. There are books that will make you have a stronger relationship with God, and they'll drive you to dig deeper in the Bible. But I would submit to you that if a book is not doing that, it's not worth reading it. You should be reading the Bible. Because in the Bible, you will see Jesus for who He is. And you must understand that when we come and read the Bible, it is a spiritual book. And we must invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to teach us the truths in the Bible, or else we will get lost. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 simply says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God," that's His Bible, "stands forever." His principles, His law, stands forever. Who He is, what He has said, stands forever. With that in mind, let's go to our scripture reading that we read this morning from 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is very, very important. Say amen when you have it for me. All right. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says the following. All scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for what does it say there? For every good work. You see, if the teaching is not from the Bible, it's not worth it. It may make sense. It may look good. But if the teaching is not from the Bible, it's not good. If the teaching doesn't flow from the Bible, it will not hold up. It will wither. Now, it is also very important, and this is just as a side note here, as extra for you. It is very important that when we come and read the Bible, that we remember some special principles. The principles is that when you read the Bible, you must read it in its context. In other words, when you look at a text, you must look at what's around that text to understand what the writer is talking about. The second and perhaps the most important principle is that you let the Bible speak for itself instead of you putting your ideas in the Bible. When that happens, then you let the Bible come forward. But look at what it says here. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. So where should our teaching be coming from, folks? The Bible. Our teaching should be coming from the Bible. The Bible should be uplifted. It also says that the Scripture is used for rebuking. Anybody in here likes rebuking? Anybody in here likes to be rebuked? You know, if you're going to be rebuked, let me put it this way. If I'm going to be rebuked, I'd like it to be concrete reasons behind the rebuking. In other words, if somebody has something that is biblically a good reason to be rebuked for, we have the right and the need to rebuke somebody if it's in the Bible. The reason is in the Bible. Nobody likes to be corrected, correct? But the Bible says that the Scripture should be used for correcting. You see, if I'm running a path, if I'm walking a path and that path in my mind I think is correct, but in reality it is a wrong path, I want to be corrected from that path. There are very sincere Christians in the world today that think that they're following the teachings of the Bible when in reality they're following the teachings of man. You have to stand on the Bible. The Bible is the anchor point which holds us in check and holds us close to Christ. I told you, as I was growing up, I was a young man, little kid. Oh man, I studied, and grandma studied so much, and we looked at the things in life, and we practiced doing good things. But I can tell you that the Bible was just one of the books we studied. We studied the catechism. We studied what the catechism meant and what the writers thought that the catechism meant, that the Bible thought it was saying that we should apply for our life. We studied other books. And unfortunately, some of those books, in the mind of those people, had even more authority over the Bible. Now, I may step on some toes here, so put them underneath the pew. But we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians tend to also do that. You know the books that we use. Sometimes we lift them up to the same level or above the Bible. The writer of those books never meant those books to be above the Bible. The writer of those books always said that those books were supposed to lead you back to the Bible. As a matter of fact, she said, if we studied the Bible the way that we're supposed to study, we will have no need of her books. So it's supposed to bring us back to the Bible. We should be, again, the people of the Bible. Look at what it says here. Training in righteousness so that men of God, the men of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what equips you to be a Christian, what equips you to be a person that's going to stand up for right, a person that's going to stand up for principle, is the Bible, folks. This is your training guide. There is not a book that's going to lead you to this that's going to be better than this. You might as well go to the source. And let's go to the reason why. Let's go to the reasons. John 5:38. This is the important reasons why. John 5:38. Do you have it? This is important. John 5:38. Actually, let's go 39. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. Then it continues to say, these are the scriptures that testify about who? About me or about Jesus, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You see, the scriptures testify about Jesus. They are the ones that give us the complete picture of who Jesus is. They are the ones that bring Jesus as the Creator and as the Redeemer. They are the ones that bring Jesus in a sacrificial mode, giving His life for us. They are the ones that testified. And of course, He's talking to the Jewish nation here because they held the Scriptures in the highest regard. But yet when they saw the fulfillment of the Scripture, which was Jesus Christ, they rejected Jesus. We must accept both of them. We don't have Jesus in front of us right now, but we have His words. They are the ones that bring up Jesus to life to us. They are the ones that present Jesus to us. And if you haven't met Jesus, read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. You'll see Jesus. You'll see His character. You'll see His personality. Each Gospel is a little bit different. Each Gospel is a little bit different. But it brings a cohesive picture of who our Savior is. They are the ones that reveal Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that another book does. Doesn't matter how good that book is, there is no other book that reveals Jesus Christ like the Bible. So you might as well go to the Bible. Luke 24:44. Matthew, Mark, and then comes Luke. 24:44. You have it? Luke 24:44. It says the following. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything that is fulfilled, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Some people today are saying that there's a difference between your Bible. That there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some say that there's a discrepancy of the way God presents Himself in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But Jesus is telling us here in this text, in Luke 24:44, that it was the Old Testament that described Him. It was the Old Testament that prophesied about Him. And see, and you start looking at the prophecies, you start looking at the little lamb in the Garden of Eden. You start looking at the ram that is sacrificed by Isaac in Abraham. You start looking at the serpent that was lifted up in Mount Sinai. You start looking at all the animals that were sacrificed in the old sacrificial system. You start looking in any place in the Old Testament, you see Jesus. You go to Psalm, you see Jesus shining forth. You see, there is no difference between the Old and the New Testament as far as what they're presenting. They're both presenting Jesus. They're uplifting Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where you look. For a homework, if you want to do it this afternoon or tonight, read Psalm 22, then 23, and then 24. You will see in those chapters a Savior that is willing to go to the cross for you. A Savior that is willing to go through any problem with you. And a Savior that will ultimately be glorified and come and get you and save you. It's anywhere you see Jesus. John 8:32. John 8:32. Let's read it from 31. Actually, from 30 to get the context here. Even as he spoke, just leave that one up there because I'll come to it, but follow me from 30. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free." You see, his word is truth. We find out in John 17. His word is the truth. It is his Bible that is the truth. It is his Bible that presents a complete picture of Jesus Christ. It is his word that we must stand on as our foundation. Oh, you see, I think of Martin Luther. When they were telling him to recant. When they were telling him to let it go. That church tradition should be above the Bible. They were telling them and putting pressure on him. And he stands up and he says, "The Bible and the Bible alone, that is what I stand on." You see, may we be the same. May we stand on the Bible and the Bible alone. But in order to do that, we must study the Bible. We must learn from the one that is revealed in the Scriptures. We must put to practice that which is revealed so that we may apply that and live it out in our lives. If I was to ask you this morning, how many of you have more than one Bible? Don't raise your hand. I would guarantee you that every hand in this room would go up. If I was to ask you, how many of you have more than three Bibles in your home? Many of your hands would go up. We have, folks, an overabundance of Bibles. There is Bibles everywhere. How many of you have heard of the Gideons? The Gideons is an association that believes that every person should have a Bible. And if you go and stay in a hotel, and if you pull up a little drawer, what do you find on there? A little Bible. And it says right there, Gideon's. You know that you can take that Bible? It's free for you to take it if you don't have one? They do that. They come in and replace it. So don't feel bad for you're not stealing the Bible. They want you to have it. They want you to read it. But you see, we have an overabundance of Bibles. We've never had as many Bibles as we have today. People have Bibles. But the problem is that people are not cracking their Bible and coming in to study their Word. Many people, the only time they hear words out of the Bible is when they come to church. Oh, I pray that this group will be like a group that is described in the Bible. That if something was said to them, they would go home and check it out of the Bible to make sure that they were being taken. Oh, I pray that this will be a group that will hold us accountable, any of that preach here, that we stay to the Word. Oh, I pray that this group will be so deep in the Bible that we will start reflecting Jesus in anything and everything that we do. The problem is not Bibles. We have plenty of Bibles. The problem is not studying. You see, there was a time through the Dark Ages that if you were found with a Bible, that was a death sentence. There was a time in this world that only the educated and only the priest were able to read the Bible. It was kept in such a language that only they knew and understood it. And they interpreted it and the people heard it and applied it. No one was allowed to have the Bible. But you see, God's Word is for everyone. God's Word is so that it'll come in and transform my life. God's Word is His life over my life. It is Jesus. That's how I meet Jesus. And that's how I come to Him. And people, when the Bibles first started coming out, and people gave their lives so that we could have a Bible, they suffered. They gave everything they had so that we may have the Bible today. It is a shame and a travesty that we don't take this book for what it is. We should read it. We should ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. We should practice what it says. And we should stand in the Bible. We should stand on the Bible and on the Bible alone. That doesn't mean, folks, that I'm telling you not to read any other books. You can read as many other books as you want, but understand that only the Bible can speak for the Bible. If you're reading what somebody else wrote about the Bible, all you're eating is regurgitated thoughts from somebody else. You're not reading what's in here. Stand on the Bible. John 5:39. We read it already. John 5:39. Let's go there. John 5:39. John 5:39, you read it already, you know it, and you probably know it by heart. John 5:39, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. If you want to meet Jesus, study His Word. If you want to know who Jesus is, study His Word. Because when we stand in His Word and we eat His words, then we become strengthened in the spiritual strength that it takes to be victorious. Don't let anyone take the opportunity that you have been given to study His Word. May we be people of the book again. May we be people that uplift Jesus Christ by knowing who Jesus Christ is by studying His Word. You see, when the Seventh-day Adventist Church was first getting started, They spent time. They would come up with, they would come up on an argument or a difference in teaching or belief, and they would go to the Bible. They would study it. Oh, they would study hard and they would ask God in prayer to lead them. And then God would make His way known through the Bible. We have a rich history of being studiers of the Bible. Let's continue to study the Bible. Let's continue to practice what is in the Bible, so that all the ones around us, our neighbors, our friends, will know that we are people who stand on the Bible. May God bless you. I hope that when you get home tonight, this afternoon, this evening, that you'll look at your Bible in a different light. That you'll look at your Bible in a special light. I know that we have the Bible projected here, but I want to get you in the custom of bringing your Bible. Because there's nothing else like going from book to book. And you may say, Pastor, but I'm not as fast as somebody else. It doesn't matter. You'll get there. It's taken me years to get this Bible to listen to me when I say go this way or go there. You'll get it. You'll practice it. So So start bringing your Bible. Let's be people of the Bible again. May the Lord bless you, guide you, keep you, and may He direct you deeper into His Word. Amen.